Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series on living in the balance of grace and faith. Tomorrow will be the end of my fifth week, and tomorrow's going to be the end of this teaching. So I encourage you to please get the materials. You know, I know that people think that the reason I offer these materials is because of we need the money and things like that. Well, obviously, it takes a lot of money to be on television, and we encourage people to give. But, you know, we give our materials away. We say it's for a donation of whatever. I really want you to get the materials for you. God's going to take care of me. And I know some of you think, well, I've already seen the programs. Why do I need to get the materials for? For one thing, if you have this broken into little 30-minute segments and you get it piecemeal over 5 weeks, it's not going to have the same impact as if you were to sit down with this book and read it in one setting and let God speak to you, or you go through the study guides and the other things. It will make much more of an impact. Plus, you need to go back over this teaching. Plus, you need to be able to share this with others. And these are materials, tools that you can use. So I really encourage you to get the materials. It's not about me. I'm trying to get the word out to you, and I believe it will have a bigger impact in your life if you get these materials and study it. And I'm promising you that the things I've been sharing are what's changed my life, and it'll change yours. Tomorrow's going to be my last day, so please call or write and receive these materials. It'll make a big difference. Now, I've been talking this week about the application and what are some of the benefits of understanding that God does everything by grace, independent of you, and faith is just the way you receive. A complete paradigm shift from most people. Most people think faith is what I do to get God to move. No, God moves by grace. Faith is how you receive what God has already done. And what I've been emphasizing this week is how that one of the applications, and there's many, but one of the applications is this lets me know that God loves me unconditionally, that it is not tied to my performance. And I've just been saying this over and over and over. And I know some people get tired of it and think, I've heard you already. Go on to something else. But, you know, if this truth doesn't just light your fire, your wood is wet. This is the kind of thing that you shouldn't get tired of hearing it. This is so radically different than what the world has to say. There is no such thing as unconditional love in the world. And sad to say, even in the church, in religious part of the church, most people teach that God's love for you is proportional to how well you perform and how well you do things. And it just isn't said very often. You need to hear this over and over and over again. So that's the reason I've been teaching on it. Let me turn over to a passage of Scripture. And I want to share with you out of Ephesians chapter 4, something that the Lord spoke to me that has really ministered to me and been a blessing. In verse 17, this scripture says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now, there is a lot in these verses. You know, actually, 1 year, I spent an entire year studying right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Never went anywhere else except as it related to these verses. I have probably 20 of my teachings that come out of these verses. So there's a lot more that I could say here than what I'm going to say on today's broadcast. But I just want to emphasize this. Don't be like the Gentiles, a non-believer, in walking in the vanity of your mind. Boy, that word vanity means the emptiness and the inutility of your mind. Boy, there's some great things God showed me about that. But down here in verse 19, it says, "...who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." The reason I wanted to bring this out is because on my program yesterday, I was sharing that you don't really have a true revelation of God's love until you come to the end of yourself. And I shared my testimony, March the 23rd, 1968, how God brought me to the end of myself by showing me I was a religious hypocrite, and the part of me that I was so proud of and trusting in all of my works and accomplishments. God showed me that in comparison to His holiness, all of my righteousness was like a filthy rag. And I came to the end of myself, and then I experienced God's love. And because I didn't have it connected to me at all, there was no connection here between my self-righteousness and God's love, I believe it made a greater impact on me than it makes on most people. And I talked about how that for 4.5 months, I was just caught up in the presence of God. Here's what I wanted to talk about today. As much as that emotional experience was 41 years ago when I had that, did you know you cannot live off of emotion? And 41 years later, did you know it is not the emotion of what happened to me in my encounter with the Lord, but it's this revelation, this truth that I've been sharing with you about grace and faith, that God by grace loves me, and all I can do is just receive it by faith. That truth is what's setting me free. John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the truth of understanding God's love for me unconditionally that is setting me free. Now, I've had emotion. I've had tremendous emotions. I've been caught up in the presence of God to where for 4.5 months I didn't eat or sleep consciously. But you know what? The emotion wore off, and there's reasons for that. I think maybe there's things I could have done that might have extended that some, but nonetheless, you cannot live on an emotional plane to where you just feel the presence of God all of the time. I know that right now I'm popping a bubble of some of you, and some of you are saying, "No, I don't want to hear this," because that's what you're seeking for, and you're wanting to be in some place to where you don't have to use faith, and you just believe. You feel the presence of God. That's the reason I read this verse. It says, these people who are walking like a Gentile, they aren't using their mind. They are operating in all of these things, and their heart has become hardened. It says they have been past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know what this is talking about is that there is a right use of feeling. We do have feelings. God made us emotional beings. And I'm not saying that we should be Spocks that have no emotion and suppress all emotion. No, emotions are wonderful and we enjoy them. But you can't base your life on feelings. And I believe that this is talking about people who have gone beyond the natural use of feelings, who being past feelings have gone into lasciviousness. And if you look this word lasciviousness up, it's talking about that they have gone into just unbridled, uncontrolled, unrestrained lust, just an indulgence of everything. And I believe that this pretty accurately describes our generation and most people. Most people have gone beyond normal use of feelings, and they have become codependent upon feelings. There are people that say, "Well, if I don't feel God's love," and so therefore they doubt that God loves them because their feelings are the plumb line. That's how they evaluate everything. "Well, I know that the Bible says God loves me, but I don't feel God's love. Will you please pray for me?" I've had that said to me 100 times, thousands of times. And I tell you what, the spirit of slap wants to come all over me when I hear something like that. I mean, if I was God, I'd just drop kick you off the planet, amen, into outer space. And people say, "Well, what's wrong with that?" What does it take? God has sent His Son. He's died for us. He sent the Holy Spirit. And yet you don't have a goosebump. You don't have a feeling. You don't have something that is so subjective that even sometimes you don't even know how you're feeling. You just feel something. And yet you are going to sit there and discount everything that God has told us in His Word, all of the proof, the goodness that He's given you. You're going to discount all of that just because you don't feel something. You know what? You cannot praise God with your thumb in your mouth. You need to pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up. You need to get to a place that you go beyond feeling. You go beyond, I don't care what I feel like. I know what God's Word says. I understand through the Word of God that God, by grace, commended His love toward me, and that while I was yet a sinner, He died for me, and much more now He loves me. And this has just become a truth, an axiom, a reality that I never deviate from. I never change it. I don't care what I feel. And I'm feeling impressed today, not feeling in a physical sense, but impressed by God to share with you that you need to go beyond just how you feel. Man, people are trapped in their emotions. And I tell you, I have had tremendous emotions where I've been in this presence of God. But you know what? Most of the time now, I don't feel bad. I don't feel depressed and discouraged and things like that, but I don't always feel like doing things. I don't always feel like making television programs. I don't always feel like getting up early and coming in. I don't always feel like ministering. There's times that I don't feel like doing a lot of things, but I do it. See, this is part of growing up. You just accept responsibility and you do what's right. When you're a kid, I don't feel like going to school, but your parents make you go to school. I don't feel like cleaning my room, but you're made to do it. I don't feel like mowing the grass. I don't feel like doing these things, but you do it. And hopefully you become an adult, and whether you feel like going to work or not, you get up and go to work because it's the right thing to do. You need the money. You're responsible. And you do all kinds of things that you don't feel like doing. But we have a group of people today that have so indulged their emotions that they just say, I don't feel the love of God. Well, then your feelings are wrong. I'm telling you that God loves you. I'm telling you that God's grace towards you is always consistent. And if you don't feel the love of God, then change your feelings. Amen. And I know some of you are looking at me like, I can't change my feelings. My feelings are just a byproduct of what's going on around me. That's not so. You can feel things that don't have any basis in reality. Did you know you can, I've actually seen this on television where they put on a helmet that has a visor on it where they have a screen and they put people on these rides like a roller coaster. And this person, you're watching them on television, the person is sitting still. They aren't even moving. The chair that they're in isn't moving. There is nothing physical happening, but they are watching a roller coaster ride on this visor, what do they call it? Some kind of reality? I forget. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And I've actually seen people get sick at their stomach, have motion sickness, and get sick and throw up when they never move. There was no reality to it. It was all inside of their brain they were doing all of this. And you can feel motion sickness. You can have fear. People will jerk and move away from things, and they know that they're watching a screen. They know that it's not real, and yet it can get inside of your brain. And it can physically affect you and do all of that. The point I'm making is that your emotions, your feelings, are not totally reliable. They are based on your perception. And your perception, you make mistakes. And you misjudge things all the time. You know, if you were standing right here beside me, I could come up to you and I could say, you know, I just got a phone call. Is your name Joe or Sue or whoever? And you say, yes. And I say, well, I was just told that your husband, your wife, your child died in a car wreck. And I'm sorry to tell you, but they're dead and they're gone. And it could be a total lie. No reality, no truth, no tangible thing involved in it. And yet, if you believed what I said, you could experience grief. You could experience sorrow, you could experience anger, you could do all kinds of things. And then if you found out that I just flat out lied to you and that there was no reality to this, then you could experience anger and bitterness and all of these kind of things. And your emotions could switch dramatically, and yet in the physical, your husband, your wife, your child, whoever would still be alive. There was no reality, nothing was real, but your perception influences your emotions, and your emotions could go from one end of the scale to the other, not based on any reality, but just on what you're thinking and how you perceive things. And I'm telling you, this is the way your emotions are. Your emotions do exist. I'm not saying that we should deny them, but you shouldn't let them trump truth. Truth should be the trump. It ought to win out every time. God's Word says that He loves you and that His love for you is unconditionally. And I don't care if you feel it or not. Your feelings are wrong. Change your feelings. Instead of you letting that be the caboose that just follows along whatever happens, you need to make your feelings like an engine that drives things. And if you don't like the way that they're going, well, then change it. Change that thing. They aren't just a reaction to things. They can dictate how you respond to things. Here's a way that I use emotions. You know, I have a wood-burning stove, and I burn wood in our house for heat. And every once in a while, I'll be sticking a piece of wood in there, and I don't plan on touching that stove, but I do, and I guarantee you, when I touch that stove, and that thing has gotten up to 1,500, 2,000 degrees, we got a little thermometer on it, and when I touch that thing, you know what? It doesn't take me long to withdraw. It doesn't take me long to pull back, and it's before I even know what I'm doing. I'm not even consciously thinking of this stove is hot, and I'm burning myself, and so I think I'll move my hand. No, I mean, the moment you feel that heat, boom, you pull back, you respond. See, that pain that you feel, I consider that to be similar to the way that emotions are supposed to work in our life. God gave us emotions. And there are times that you are supposed to feel bad. Now, again, our world system doesn't accept this. Our world system believes you're supposed to feel good at all costs. And so if you're a homosexual over here, or if you're a lesbian, if you're an alcoholic, if you're a drug addict, if you have just divorced somebody and treated them like dirt, if you've done anything wrong, rather than you feel bad and feel like, oh, I've messed up, something's wrong with me, the world responds by saying, no, it's not your fault. It's your genes that made you this way. It's that person who made you do this. You have every right. And the way that the world responds is to refuse accepting responsibility and saying that you're wrong. And that's the way that they deal with feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation. I'm saying that there's times you should feel rotten. If you've just treated somebody badly, if you've caused a divorce. And of course, usually it's two people, but I'm saying if you just treated your mate terrible and you got a divorce, you ought to feel terrible over it. And I know that there's people that are just taken aback like, no, 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 you never feel bad. Never give in to any of this. There's things that you ought to feel absolutely rotten over. And that's the reason God gave you emotions, is that when you start feeling this guilt and shame and condemnation, it's like when you burn your hand, it makes you pull back, it makes you withdraw and say, what's happening? And the proper response ought to be that you evaluate the situation, and if you've really done something wrong, quit doing it, and then you draw on the grace and the forgiveness of God, and you let that love overwhelm your sense of grief or sorrow or shame or whatever it is, and you deal with it that way. The world just says, no, I'm not wrong. Let's change the standards. It's no longer wrong to be a homosexual. I was made this way. I'm honoring God by being this way. No, you aren't. If you are a homosexual and you're dealing with depression, which the statistics show that homosexuals are 2 to 3 times as susceptible to depression and suicide as the general public, there's a reason for that. It's because what you're doing is absolutely wrong, and your emotions are meant to be a warning signal to you that something is wrong with this picture. Change, quit, stop, change course. Just like when I'm touching something and, man, I feel pain, I withdraw because something's wrong. God gave us negative emotions so that we could withdraw. But we have gotten to where we glorify emotions so much that I've had people come to me and say, would you please pray for me? I'm depressed. And I say, so what's wrong? What's depressing you? And they say, I don't know. Everything in my life's fine. I just feel depressed. They don't even have a reason. They aren't even responding to something. They hadn't even been burned. They're just feeling pain when there's no reason to feel pain. I tell you what, you need to grow up. You need to get beyond that, and you need to quit indulging those emotions. You know, when I do, there's times that I begin to feel discouraged and depressed. I can truthfully say I haven't been depressed in 41 years, but I've had it knock on my door. When my son died, I started to feel depressed and discouraged and grief. I don't feel condemned because those emotions came. Those are a normal reaction to a tragic situation. But you know what? I realized I didn't want those emotions. I didn't want where those emotions were going to take me. I didn't want to live that way. I knew that, man, I needed to believe God. And so you know what I did? I just started praising God. I didn't feel like praising God. I did it because I knew it was the right thing to do. I was not operating in lasciviousness where I am just controlled and a captive and possessed by my emotions. I realized that grief and sorrow were coming, and so I fought against them. And I began to just willfully start praising God and thanking God. And long story short, my son was raised from the dead. After being dead for nearly 5 hours, came back with no brain damage, no more than he had before. And it was a miracle. And I tell you what, I didn't deny that those emotions were knocking at the door, but I refused to allow them to dominate and control me. And this is the point I'm trying to make on today's program. I'm talking about that God loves you unconditionally. I've been talking about that for 5 weeks. I know some of you don't feel that way. And because you don't feel that way, you say, well, I hear what you're saying and I see what the Bible says, but I feel discouraged. Quit. Take control of your emotions. And some of you are saying, I can't do it. I don't have any control over that. Well, see, that's one of the reasons that you have this problem is that you aren't taking responsibility. You've bought into a lie that the devil has sold you that you can't control your emotions. You're looking to a pill. You're going to a doctor and letting somebody give you a pill to do what the gospel is supposed to do. And I'm just telling you that, you know what, you need to go beyond that. I don't care how you feel. It doesn't matter whether you feel or don't feel the love of God. This is what the Word of God says. And if you would begin to start praising Him and thanking Him, independent of your feelings, maybe you feel like crying like I did when my son died, but I chose to praise God because I knew what the Word says. I knew God wasn't the one that killed my son. I knew God was faithful, and I knew that there was raising from the dead power available to me. And I wasn't about to empower my emotions and empower the unbelief and the hurt and the pain that would come by me giving in to them. And so I began to start praising God. When I felt like doing something else, I did what I knew I needed to do. And you need to do that. You need to take the things that I've said in this series. You need to take these materials that we're offering. You need to go back and study this and find out how faithful God is, how good God is. Understand the grace of God. And you just focus your mind on that. And you begin to praise Him by faith, whether you feel like it or not. Some of you have indulged your emotions for so long, it's going to take a while to turn them around and to get them back to normal, to where you are just back to normal feelings instead of lasciviousness, where you are dominated and possessed and controlled by emotions. It's going to take a while to re-educate yourself. But if you would do it, you would find out that you could experience God's unconditional love anytime you want to. And man, I tell you, this has set me free. This is powerful. There's people watching this program that you needed this today. You know, I'd like to encourage you to please get the materials that we're offering. I believe that these are life-changing truths. They would change your life. They've changed mine. So listen as our announcer gives you information about that. Please call or write. Remember, tomorrow is our last day to offer these materials. So call or write today and then join me tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This 5-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fifth teaching in the CD album titled God Loves Me Unconditionally is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA27C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to pray about coming to one of our Charis Bible Colleges. I tell you, the things that you're hearing here on television, you get them in a thousand times greater way coming to the Bible College, not only through me, but through all of the other instructors, the guest instructors. The dynamics of having hundreds of people that are just like-minded and receiving, it is a tremendous place. And we have Bible colleges spread all over the world, from India down here to Colorado Springs. And God is doing great things. We've expanded the program. We're beginning a brand new third-year program that is going to specifically train people to be ministers, youth ministers, business administrators, praise and worship leaders. Great things. Please call the number you see on your screen for more information.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. This is going to be a special time. I've got a special announcement to share with you. This will be my first time to share it publicly. And I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.